We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Let's go. 5 o'clock hour is the Funky Buddha happy hour. You know how much people want to win those Funky Buddha gift cards when we give them away during the Cheers 2 segment, which we did at 3 o'clock today, and you can hear it on the podcast later on. But you know how badly people want to win the Funky Buddha gift cards because they just kiss our ass for the segment.
Well, I feel good today.
They're like, oh, I want to give cheers to you guys. You're so great. We see through you, and we don't care.
Oh, yeah.
You're the stripper, man. Whatever you want to tell me, I'll believe it for the moment.
You love me, huh? I felt something when you walked out the back.
I thought we had a connection. I noticed you, too, across the room. Out of all the people in here, you noticed me, huh?
Yeah. I saw you looking at me. Nah, we'll take it, though.
Funky Buddha, man.
Oh, I was in the Keys this weekend. Funky Buddha's taking over the Keys.
Are they?
Anywhere you go in the Keys, you can get your Funky Buddha now. When you're good, things work out for you, man.
That is true, and they are good.
Beer is delicious.
Funky Buddha happy hour, 5 o'clock, does it right. Now, I promised you the greatest 5 o'clock hour ever on a Tuesday of this week, and we are going to deliver. I'm making it very narrow. Because I even said it at 2 o'clock. I said it yesterday. It's a fun week. You know what? I don't think that there's a lot of radio shows that are having a fun week this week. There's not a ton going on. I told you. I was sitting there watching the NBA awards last night at 9 o'clock. There's not a lot going on.
My wife gets me into watching all those crazy shows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You gotta do it because, you know, when sports is... Now, there is the Marlins tonight, right? And Glenn Geffner and Craig Minervini, they have both yelled at everyone. First of all, you should go. You should go to a Marlins game. I'm going to ask Ira. Ira's going to be in tomorrow, by the way. Channing's off tomorrow. Ira's going to be in. I'm going to ask him about Glenn Geffner's tirade on Twitter about Marlins fans need to support this team.
He's the radio announcer.
Yes.
But should he be doing that? Should he be snapping on the fans?
Listen, I feel the same way about the radio station. Like, more people should be listening to this show. Sorry, but it happens to be really good. I don't care how many people are listening. More people should be listening. And if you haven't told your friends about it, that's on you. So, yeah, I'll snap on you the way Glenn snapped on Marlins fans.
More!
Yeah, on his tweets. More.
He's old school, man.
We got about 1 o'clock this afternoon, Solana and I got a very nice compliment. Michelle downstairs, I don't know what her last name is. Not Michelle from Traffic, but there's another Michelle down there. She came up. Now, I haven't seen her up here as long as she's been working here. She came up. She was hanging out in the production studio with us. I think it might be Vargas.
Vargas.
Yeah. She comes up here, and she goes, I just wanted to tell you, and I don't have that much interaction with her.
Yeah.
I just wanted to tell you, sweet potatoes are dessert.
Yeah.
So I go, oh, really? Blah, blah, blah. She goes on to tell us, am I lying, Alejandro? She goes on to tell us, she started listening to the show about 2 weeks ago. Didn't tell us why. She goes, it's so good. I can't stop listening to the show. And I said, that's really nice. And that's the kind of stuff we need. So I'll go Glenn Geffner on your ass.
Should have told her you're welcome.
You did?
Yeah, she opens the door for me every day. I don't believe in key fobs.
I don't get it, though. Like, they're provided for you. Nope. You don't have to pay for a key fob.
No. Nope.
It's provided for you.
Come open the door. There's too many people in the building not to open the door. Come open the damn door.
So you take Michelle away from her desk every day because it's inconvenient for you to carry the key fob?
I've lost... They gave me one years ago, and I lost it. When I lost it, I said, don't worry about it. Somebody will come to the
door. I think you've lost where you came from.
What?
Player.
A lot of key fobs growing up.
I think you forget where you came from.
This building was the first key fob I ever had in my life.
We're going to have them in the new building, I'm sure. Fobs or cards or something.
That building's wide open.
Should be like... Eyeball retina scan. Yeah, retina scans. Anyway.
The building's wide open. You walk straight in.
Well, in the building, but not up to the studios, like, because the studios go 24 hours a day. Like, you're not going to be able to walk into the studios at 3 in the morning if you don't belong there.
Damn, I had some friends coming. Come holler at me. I'm on the second floor. Come on up.
Your brother, man. Bro man on the second floor.
Come on up, baby.
Anyway, there's an unbelievable twist and turn in decades-long argument. You know, you want a little inside info. This is funny. One of the biggest blow-ups I've ever had here at this radio station. I know people think I have an ego or whatnot. I don't think I do. You may think I do. Solana, do I have an ego?
I'd rather not comment.
I like to put on good entertaining radio, but I don't think I have much of an ego. Like, I don't want anyone to get up from their desk and open the door for me. I bring my key fob.
Yeah, no, don't try to throw me on the bus there. But I'll tell you, if there's not discussions when you speak about radio, there's dissertations.
Hmm. Well, I know more than anybody.
Oh, okay.
Anywho, so if you take the curtain back, the biggest blow-up I've had at this station, my 6 years at WQAM, I had a couple at 790 when I was there, but my biggest blow-up ever at this radio station. Do you remember what it was?
What, the OPD?
Our old program director, Ryan McGuire. He didn't get my sense of humor. We just weren't on the same plane.
Yeah.
He grew to like our show, but we were on just different planes. And he had come in. We had just gotten taken over by CBS, and they installed him from the Pittsburgh cluster. And so he gets here, and he's the one that, you know, put in the jingle. Remember, we had that jingle, Miami Sports Radio, WQ. Just this garbage Pittsburgh crap. So
you let him know, and I let everybody know you told him all this too.
So he, this was like his fourth week, fifth week here, and we're doing this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And he wants more, not this kind of stuff. Yep. And we're doing Is a Hot Dog a Sandwich? We're doing a segment, two segments. It's three segments now. Is a Hot Dog a Sandwich? And I see Zach Krantz used to do the show with us. And he used to sit on the other side of the glass where Solana is. So it was, who was running the board? Was it Falero?
Yeah.
Must have been Falero running the board.
The Norwegian stuff. Falero's on
right.
the board.
And
Zach.
So Zach is there. And I'm here doing the show. This is what I see across the glass. The program director walk in, say something to Zach, slam the door. So now I get through the segment. Zach comes in and goes, listen, Ryan walked in. He goes, is he about done with the hot dog is a sandwich crap? Good. Like, doesn't give a chance and slams the door. Good. Saying he's done with the hot dog is a sandwich. Well, and it shows you what a weird career I've carved out. That sets me off. It reminds me, I don't know if you ever saw the movie Good Morning Vietnam. But Robin Williams, he's the wacky radio DJ, Adrian Cronauer, and he gets all of a sudden an unfunny program director who, you know, wants him to not be like, here's what's funny. You know, here's what's good radio. Ryan and I don't agree on what's good radio. Anyway, I go running through the halls to find this guy because he's not in his office. And when I find him, I unleashed holy hell on this guy. Mother bleep this and mother bleep that, and you're not fine. This is in a hallway. Everyone up here is looking down from the loft at mm-hmm. me just going off on this guy, my boss. And I said to him, if you don't want me here, fire my ass. Stop telling me what's funny. What blah, blah, bleep, 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 bleep.
No BS. He snapped.
So in the next segment, George Shea is coming on with us. He's the commissioner of Major League Eating. He's done an entire research project on whether a hot dog is a sandwich or not.
I'm gonna call Ryan.
It all comes full circle.
Call Ryan and tell him.
Man,
we got him
do you remember?
On.
You were. I mean, you heard me.
I think I just got on the show.
I unleashed holy hell on this guy. He didn't know what hit him.
But you know what I'm saying? You drive the show. So I'm sitting here like, this dude, did he just ask me fired? You know, it's more to it than just you. Me and Zach are kind of looking at each other like, what is he doing?
I remember coming back in the studio, Chan goes to me and goes, man, white boy fights are funny.
They are, because they never escalate. Like, y'all were cussing. Well, he wasn't cussing. You were doing all the cussing.
Yeah.
But I never felt like they were going to fight. Like, most fights I see, like, you see them escalating.
It was a workplace.
Dudes step back and, like, they start, you know, fixing their shirt. I was like, this is not going to be physical at all.
Should have pulled the Willie Williams, just one knockout.
You know what?
One
I'll
punch.
I'll tell you how how intense Hawk was. If he would have hit him, I would have been surprised. Because he was going off.
I was ready to go. I was ready to leave. I was like, hey, man, if you don't see the entertainment value in this, a hot dog, a sandwich, you and I are not going to be able to coexist, sir.
He was going. He'll let authority have it now.
But anyway.
I was over Hawk House one time. The police came. He let him go. We're not doing anything. What are you messing with us for?
That's a little bit of an exaggeration. But I didn't kowtow. I'll tell you that.
I was hiding behind the recycle bin.
He's like, hey, the cops are here. Let's get back. I go, what are you talking about? Cops are here. I can get them and move on. Nothing to see here.
It was like watching National Geographic.
He was.
I was in Boca. I was like, what happened when the cops come to a Boca neighborhood? This is amazing.
It was funny, man. His reaction was priceless.
Yep.
Could not believe what was transpiring.
Oh. Oh, oh, ooh, look how, ooh, it's over now. Sorry, sir, move on. Have a good night. That crap works. That crap works.
Anyway, George Shea is the commissioner of Major League Eating. He is one of our favorite guests on the radio all time, bar none.
Year round.
This dude takes competitive eating as serious, no, not as seriously, more seriously than anyone on the planet. More seriously than anyone on the planet.
In any other sport.
He thinks this is, yeah. And that's why we love him, because he thinks it's so important. But the last time that he was on with us, it was Burger Day, and we were asking him, is a salmon burger a burger? Is a turkey burger a burger?
And bean burger, all that stuff, yeah.
As a goof, he said he was going to have the entire, you know, weight of his research department. So anyway, I've been leaked this information from Major League Eating on this, and it's page after page with pie graphs. The title is The Hot Dog Sandwich Debate Resolved, because he went into what's a burger and is a hot dog a sandwich. Like, I mean, just craziness, but it's not ready for publication, it says, so I don't even know how much I can tell you. But we're going to find out from him the definitive answer. Is a hot dog a sandwich or not? This is a debate that has captivated people for generations. For generations.
I don't think it's ever been answered.
Has torn families apart.
Yep.
And we're going to get a definitive answer from the commissioner of Major League Eating next. Radio.com. Radio.com. This radio segment, I believe, has the potential to change the face of the planet.
I'm with you.
I mean, this has the potential to change a narrative that has been around for centuries?
Centuries.
Centuries.
We're going to have to translate it to other languages.
This is something probably almost biblical that will be translated, you know, in languages around the world. Some languages that don't even exist anymore, but just for, you know, archival reasons, you would translate them into that language.
Get on that, Solana.
Yeah, get on that, Solana. So George Shea is the commissioner of Major League Eating. He is the MC at the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest, which is July 4th on Coney Island. We're going to be out of town, both of us, so we were having George on earlier instead of next week when the contest is. We'll have him on today. And there's a lot of stuff that we got to get to him. So here's on the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline, George Shea, the commissioner of Major League Eating. Hello, George.
Hello. Thank you for having me on.
Always a pleasure, and we always look forward to it. Now, before I get into some of the hard-hitting stuff and the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest, I want to start with something that we were talking about yesterday on the show, which is, Is sweet potato pie a dessert or a side dish?
Oh my goodness! And you're asking me for just a lightning round. What's my answer?
Yes, without the aid of research and whatnot. Your own opinion is
dessert. A lousy dessert I would never eat.
What? Okay, see, and that makes sense. It's a bad dessert, but
Do you have had my mom's?
But a great side dish.
No.
It's a bad dessert.
You put nutmeg in yours?
In the pantheon of desserts, a potato is never going to generate a quality dessert, even if it's sweet.
In
the pantheon of side dishes, delicious. It's got a little sweet flavor to it. But your judgment, George, is that it is a dessert.
It is a dessert, and I love all desserts, and I literally am an addict for sweets and sugar. But it would just be very, very, and this is not, I'm not saying anything about anybody's sweet potato pie. I suspect there are some great ones out there. I just have never been overwhelmed. And generally, as a category, pie is low on my list. Sweet potato pie is among the lowest. I don't like flan. I would go hardcore brownie. I would go hardcore chocolate cake. That's where I am. It's just very simple.
You yourself ever engage in competitive eating, or Adam Silver? He surveys over the NBA, but he doesn't play.
I'm a social eater, not a competitive eater. I once tried hot dogs. I failed miserably, but I did once eat an entire chocolate babka with my coffee in the morning, and it was once again, it was an addict kind of an.
Excellent.
I regretted it.
Excellent.
Is it babka large?
I had a feeling, almost like a loaf, right? It's like a loaf.
It's a loaf of bread.
Yeah.
It's a loaf of bread, chocolate bread.
Yeah. Jewish. You get that at a deli, a babka. The whole Seinfeld.
Oh, I had them. Yeah.
Whole Seinfeld episode about a chocolate babka. You remember that episode, George?
I don't, but the chocolate babka actually is a great dessert, totally underappreciated because. It's just sweetened chocolate enough and just not super sweet, super rich. You can go through a whole babka. That's the point.
Yeah, and as you did.
Yes.
Okay. George Shea, he is the commissioner of Major League Eating. Now, where are you guys in the staging of the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest, which is 4th of July, Coney Island? How many people come out for that again, live, to watch it live?
About 30,000 people. It is a hive of activity here at MLE HQ, and everything from organizing the outfits of the eaters and their swag bag, which is really not much of a swag bag, but it is they do get a box at their hotel and the hotel rooms. We are shooting additional hero headshots for our new website, the new MLE website, and it's just on and on and on. But when people get down to it, we have the weigh-in on July 3 at the Empire State Building, which is a grand affair, where Joey stares down the number 2 ranked eater. Really what it comes down to is, how many is Joey going to eat on the 4th? Is there a challenger? He has been beaten 2 or 3 times recently by Jeffrey Esper, a teacher from Massachusetts. But I don't see Jeffrey going over 60 hot dogs and buns, and I don't see Joey going under 70. So I don't see how he wins.
And George, 4th of July is the big day, the 2019 Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest. But how long does it take, honestly, like prepare? Like you're saying you're getting guys ready. Really, how long have you been preparing for the 2019 eating contest?
About a month now. You know, for us, it's a very big production, right? You take over you shut down a block in Coney Island. You put a stage on the street. You know, you have a 2-hour, 3-hour stage show. That runs through the men's contest on ESPN. You know, you have all of the qualifiers and to organize that. But then you know what happens? It's like anyone. You throw in social media, and right now you've got this whole social media burden, which is, you know, where everything is these days, but it's like you're a production facility for social media, and what are we doing there? So it's a very, very big affair. Joey himself begins preparing 6 weeks before to sort of build up to that number. And Joey, I don't know if I'm spilling state secrets here, but Joey stops eating on Sunday prior, in this case, Sunday prior to the Thursday, which is the 4th.
So you can imagine. Just water?
Just water and coffee.
Water and coffee. Interesting. So here's a question, though, that we were posing to ourselves yesterday, because Crowder and I like to gamble every now and then, and the odds came out. Joey Chestnut is a 1-10 favorite to win on 4th of July. Mickey Sudo is a 1-15 favorite, an even larger favorite than Joey Chestnut. Now, we were saying there's really no one that can beat Joey. It's almost sure money, even though you'd have to bet $1,000 to win $100. But what is something that could sidetrack him? And I'm not being glib here. Would it be choking?
Well, I know he has an abnormally large esophagus. You'd have to be eating something like a softball or
really?
Not, yes. His esophagus is extraordinary. But let me, I just have to weigh in on a couple things. Mickey Sudo, 15-1 or 1-15, that's not right, right? Juliet Lee has been on our Major League Eating YouTube. You got to see it. She ate 24 raw hamburgers, really raw, 39 raw eggs. We asked her not to for obvious reasons.
Yeah, why would anyone do that?
I saw it.
Yes, she ate a bowl, what she calls a Charlie bowl. Her cat died. And if we could just take a moment. Her cat died, and so she named her bowl after her cat, Charlie, and it's like a 2.5 inch high bowl with Charlie's image in it. She filled it up with ramen. She slurps it down. The amount of food that she can eat is extraordinary. It's really just a duration thing. Mickey's faster. So my point is, do I think Mickey's going to win? Yes. Are the odds greater that she will or win than Joey win in the men? No.
What kind of cat?
It was a tabby.
Uh-huh.
And and I asked, how does one spell Charlie's name? Is it I-E or is it E-Y? It's I-E. I had misspelled it on our YouTube tagging.
Should we do a moment of silence? Should we do a moment of silence, George?
Was it recent?
I would like it. Just a moment. That's enough.
Okay.
We lost Charlie.
Yeah.
But let me, one other item on here. When you were talking about Joey Chestnut, he just is working. He is fighting against himself, right? So he did 74 last year on 7-4, July 4, which I thought there was a numerology component to that, which was beautiful in a way. But he's going for 75-78 this year. He's not going to beat the other guys. But when you think about the fact that he fasts for 5 days, and really emptying out not only his stomach, but his entire alimentary canal, the entire colon and duodenum or whatever it is down there. It makes you wonder whether or not that is because he's actually storing the hot dogs, whether or not it's not just the stomach that they move all the way down.
Oh, wow. So he would actually eat them and store them immediately in the colon.
Yes, I don't know how that would work physically, but it just popped into my mind. But he, I truly believe he is going to win. At this juncture, it is not. He will lose one day. Like, no matter how great they are, they fall. But I don't see that happening this year. And you asked, what could sidetrack Joey Chestnut? The only thing, there's no force in the world that can beat Joey Chestnut except for love, as we recall. Love brought him down when he had a broken heart.
That's right.
Other than that, Kobayashi's not going to beat him. Stoney's not going to beat him. No one's going to beat him.
Somebody texts in, based on what you've shared with us about Joey's esophagus, does he have a sister?
As chairman of Major League Eating, I
right, I understand. And that was out of line by me and the texter. And I would
see
like,
y'all.
Let's have a moment of silence just for that. That's enough. That's enough. So the last time you were on with us, it was International Hamburger Day. And we asked you some very hard-hitting questions. One of them being, can anything be a burger? Is a salmon burger really a burger? Is a veggie burger, those new Impossible burgers, is that really a burger? Now, you kind of declined to take an opinion on it because what you say carries weight, obviously. You've got the gravitas of being the commissioner of the preeminent governing body when it comes to anything food. And so you deferred on an answer. You said you wanted your research arm to look into a couple of questions, whether a hot dog is a sandwich, and what could constitute a burger. And while I thought it may have been some lip service, you have forwarded to me, and I may be speaking out of turn because I know that it still needs to be massaged a little bit, but I've seen, thanks to you, the draft. It's almost like getting an early copy of the Mueller report. I've seen the draft of the hot dog sandwich debate resolved by your research arm. Are we ready to release some of this information?
Well, look, you got a leaked copy, and my administration as head of the research division of IFOCE and Major League Eating has been riddled with leaks. But so this is not the final copy, and I cannot say that it is completely official and final. But the fact of the matter is that we did do a very exhaustive research project and analysis and report, up to and including, as you may have noticed, footnotes, which always tripped me up in the past. And we used a Latin term. And so I'm pretty proud of the report. And we do have conclusions, as you mentioned.
I will say, I'm with you. A report is nothing unless there's footnotes. The moment there's footnotes, it becomes the gospel.
It does elevate it, I think. And you may have noticed that in the abstract, which I'm not quite sure what that means, but people put that at the beginning of a study or a research analysis. We just figured that just meant the beginning. But in the abstract, we use the term sui generis. And sui generis is, I believe, a Latin term. Don't know what it means, but I know the effect is that in this term it means that the hot dog is a sui generis entity, meaning it is only a hot dog, right? Mm. It cannot be a sandwich, and something else cannot be a...
Hold on. This is revelatory conclusion that George Shea is sharing on behalf of Major League Eating. You are saying definitively a hot dog is not a sandwich?
It is 100% not a sandwich, and this is based on extensive research that is both etymological in terms of the history of the word, and semantics and how people use it in common culture. Very simply said, a hot dog is not a sandwich. There can be no such thing as a hot dog sandwich. The term hot dog should not be used or understood to refer to any other entity other than a hot dog. And finally, nothing can be put into the quote-unquote dog format. You can't have a tofu dog. That is not appropriate and is disgusting.
Wow. So a hot dog is not a sandwich, and it's really its own category. It's a hot dog.
And if you think of it, it is one of the very, very few foodstuffs that has its own category. And then you get into the burger, which we had discussed earlier. And can I also say that as part of our research study, which when completed, will be published and will, of course, go to the New England Journal of Medicine and see how we do there.
But right. And they will publish it as well, or it'll just sit somewhere there?
Well, we will submit it. And I would like to add an addenda to it at that point, just to impress them a little with a picture of the hot dog or something like that. But anyway, regardless, yeah, we will publish this. This will be available for all to see. Because as I mentioned, we're kind of like a little proud of it. But we conducted a survey, an exhaustive survey, to a significant target audience, and that bolstered our results.
Well, if I can share with the listeners, because I have here, it says survey and results. Major League Eating conducted a survey targeting individuals from around the world who are currently American residents, which is strange because it's around the world, yet only American residents. Survey respondents were between the ages of 16 to 55, male and female, of all political affiliations, but vegetarians, vegans, and pescatarians were excluded. So it does seem to be a wide yet narrow survey.
It's very specific, and we felt, and this is nothing, I do not mean to disparage a vegetarian, a vegan, a pescatarian, a stomach stapler, anything. We will disparage no one. We just didn't feel they could be trusted on this issue, because if you're a vegan, mm-hmm, deep down in your heart, you're going to want there to be like a tofu or a seitan dog. And we thought that that would, affect the results.
They're biased.
Looking for a completely unbiased result here, which I think you have found. So, and this will be made public before the 4th of July, or this is still years away?
Well, you know, it really is a matter of resources, and we threw the full weight of our research division behind this. But I believe that we need, and I'm just being very forthcoming here, I believe that we need, because it's a fairly controversial subject, I believe we have to go deeper in to some of the definitions and some of the history of this dispute, and I think we have to... I think we have to essentially recap the entire dispute, and that is not in this report.
Okay, but the result is not going to change, no matter how much you research this further. The result is a hot dog is not a sandwich. It is an entity of its own.
The results are 100% locked. The only question is, for those doubters, for those people who will try to poke holes in this, I just want to add more research. But let me just be really, really clear. The report concludes without question that a hot dog is a hot dog and a hot dog only. You know, on the contrary, a hamburger can be a sandwich, and you can form any other food that you want into a burger, a salmon burger, as we discussed, you know, certainly a chicken or a turkey burger. So those are, you know, those are, I, look, this puts it to rest. And I think that reasonably you can't assume anything but what we've said. But what we've done is we've brought the scientific method to resolve it.
George Shea is the commissioner of Major League Eating. And I know I can speak on behalf of both of us. We know how important Thursday, July 4th is at Coney Island with the 30,000 live spectators and how many millions watching on ESPN?
I think a million, million, 1.5, something like that.
So over a million viewers. Yep. I speak for both of us, all three of us, including Alejandro, that for you to take time out of your schedule at this moment and share what I think is news that changes, you know, lifelong narratives is beyond generous and really shows some of your true character, George.
Well, look, I appreciate the platform because I know that your listeners care about these things and we've discussed a lot of important items. I'm not certain that this is not the most important. But I will keep you posted as this goes further. But the fact of the matter is, as you said, you have the results. The results are in.
Right. Did you ever get an answer about Knickers, the cow?
We have made many inquiries on that. And I would characterize the response that we received as hostile.
Oh, hostile, yeah. You know, yeah.
Yeah, as if Knickers somehow was, you know, sanctified or above being eaten. It was, to be honest, we let that go. I think there's too much polarization in
sure.
the world right now.
Sure.
And at some juncture, you just have to say, okay, that's a live wire. We're going to steer clear of that. Our offer stands. We will eat Knickers or any other extraordinary cow. I actually had a discussion with Crazy Legs Conti, who's a competitive eater, about having an eater. This was really his idea, having an eater eat an entire cow as a YouTube exercise over the course of a year and eat every piece of a cow, and it could be Knickers. I think that would be an interesting exercise.
Well, tremendous luck to everyone involved. Knickers, of course, for those of you that hadn't listened several months ago, a very large white cow, unfortunately named Knickers.
Complexion for the protection.
You're not kidding.
Yeah.
I don't know what he said there. George, I cannot thank you enough. You are a national treasure, and while I will be in Japan on the 4th of July, I will be tuned in, no matter what the time difference is, I will be tuned in to watch the Coney Island hot dog eating contest.
Well, I appreciate that. I hope you have a great trip, and I thank you very much for having me on. I wish you a happy 4th of July.
Thank you so much, sir, and carry on with your important work.
Thank you very much. Will do.
Mind blowing.
There's very few times in radio where I feel like, wow, we've accomplished. I mean, the way I'm saying, like a scientist would say, you know, when Jonas Salk discovered the cure for polio and probably had that moment, like, wow, here in the lab, I've done something worthy of America or the world. And I think in this segment, we did that.
You got to sit back now.
We'll sit back. We'll take a moment. We'll come back.
Radio.com.
Couple of things. And I love George Shea more than anything in the world. He is one of the best radio guests. I got a tweet, from Matt Brodsky, our friend Snackbox over at CBS Sports Interactive.
Snack, what's up, baby?
And he tweeted me, this segment feels like a Phil Hendry sketch. And I said to you during the commercial break,
yep.
I said, just based on all the texts that we get after George comes out with us, some people get it, some people don't. That was Phil Hendry's entire show. That, it's so amazing that he just tweeted me that, because I said to you during the break, I go, that was like the Phil Hendry show, but Phil Hendry, he played the role of George Shea and the host, and he did it for 4 hours a day. But I find George Shea to just be amazing radio.
It is. And like you said, you always say he never breaks character.
Never breaks character. And there's so many people texting in. Is this guy serious? How come he takes it so seriously? And then there's the other people that are just blowing up my phone and the text line with, this is amazing.
It's funny how he really breaks down and thinks about every question you ask him, no matter how silly it is.
Yep. He will not give you just an off-the-cuff answer. He answers every question with the gravity of being the commissioner of a major sport.
That's what you're supposed to do.
Somebody texts in, your old PD is listening and punching the air right now because this is going from a hot dog contest to moments of silence for a cat.
Hey, don't disrespect Charlie. We love Charlie.
Oh, my God.
That, oh, yeah. So you would have had to fight somebody today.
Now, yeah, he would have. He would have tried to pull the plug on that halfway through the interview.
Moment of silence. Oh, we would have gotten in trouble.
So we found out, you know, we record a promo every day during the afternoon to air tomorrow, the next day. You know, it always says, join us today at 2 o'clock. So I just learned that Crowder's off tomorrow. He's on vacation, and Ira Winderman is filling in for him. And I love that because I can talk NBA with Ira. But tomorrow I already have booked Miki Sudo, who's the number one female competitive eater in the world. She dominates the hot dog eating competition.
Is Ira ready?
Well, I texted him when I found out that you were not going to be here. I said, because he said, are you going to play my intro at the top of every hour? And I said, the number one ranked competitive eater in the world, Miki Sudo, is going to join us tomorrow. And I got no response. And my next text to him is, do you want to ask her about the bowel movements or should I?
You go run Iris so hot.
I've got no text bubbles back yet. There's nothing happening there. So it may be me and Greg Likens tomorrow. I don't know. Ira may bow out gracefully.
The bowel movements.
All right.
You know how to press people's buttons,
yeah,
man.
George Shea was great. If you joined that halfway through, I implore you, go to WQAM.com and listen to it. It is great.
I'll probably catch it on the way home.
All right, and tomorrow, Miki Sudo is going to join me and Ira, the number one female competitive eater in the world. So there you go. Crowder's off tomorrow. Ira Winderman will be in. Greg Likens is coming up next. Chili Willie's going to be running the board. Things are popping off here at the studios in Miami Gardens. I will speak with you mañana.
Extraordinary esophagus.
Her cat died, and so she named her after her cat Charlie, and it's like a two and a half inch high bowl with Charlie's image in it. She filled it up with ramen. She slurps it down. The amount of food that she can eat is extraordinary.
What kind of cat?
It was a tabby.
Uh-huh.
And tabby. And I asked, how does one spell Charlie's name? Is it I-E or is it E-Y? It's I-E. I had misspelled it on our YouTube tagging.
Should we do a moment of silence, George?
Was it recent?
I would like it. Just a moment. That's enough.
Okay.
We lost Charlie.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.